The Boilermakers are outright Big Ten champions before the end of the regular season. The Boilermakers will have Wisconsin on Sunday for Senior Day, following their victory on the road at Illinois on Tuesday night. We'll break it all down coming up on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters with Brian Newbert. Brian, in a moment, but first this.
Designing and building since 1968, T&W has changed the way people think about construction. T&W's three-stage approach to designing and building is unmatched throughout the construction industry. Learn more about T&W's people, passion, and projects at twdesignbuild.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway.
Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. AcrePro Midwest Farm Group is your local farmland specialist. With decades of experience in Indiana agriculture, no one knows the market better. Whether you are doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Visit AcrePro.com or call 765-775-6502 and talk to your local land expert today. Again, 765-775-6502. The Boilermakers will play Senior Day on Sunday against Wisconsin, coming off the victory against Illinois on Tuesday night, a game that gave Purdue the outright Big Ten championship, something that has not happened in the Big Ten back-to-back years for, what, like 17 years since Ohio State did it in 2006, 2007. Quite the accomplishment for the Boilermakers. Sometimes I think, Brian, it gets overlooked a little bit, especially in Purdue's situation where so much seems rightly or wrongly pointed toward what happens in the NCAA tournament in March. But let's not gloss over it. Purdue has won the title outright in back-to-back seasons. Quite the feat.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be distracted from. Obviously, a really big accomplishment that unfortunately is going to get viewed by a lot of people probably as like a redundancy to whatever, you know, happens the rest of this month. Probably was something that everybody assumed was going to happen, and thus maybe it loses a little bit of its luster in people's minds. But this is a really big deal. I mean, winning back-to-back outright Big Ten championships, especially last year when you were so young and the league was so good. You know, I think this year Purdue was just head and shoulders better than everybody in the Big Ten and should have been expected to win the league. That doesn't mean it's easy to do, and that doesn't mean it was ever a lock. But I think this Purdue team is much better than last year's team, and I think last night was a big reflection of that. And I think obviously the best could be yet to come. So ultimately, Purdue's going to get judged right or wrong on what happens in the NCAA tournament. That's just kind of the nature of the beast, but. You couldn't fast forward to the NCAA tournament to get that out of the way. You had to win your league again to really make something of this opportunity you have with this very special team they've had the last 2 years.
Yeah, Purdue will win the league by three games, most likely. Could even win it by four games, which would just be really sort of crazy, I think. You know, Purdue's better than last year. That is clear, I think. The reason – I mean, if you're going to pick out one reason why Purdue is better, and I think there are multiple reasons, but if you had to pick out one, to me, it's the improved play of the point guard, Braden Smith. And that was on full display again against Illinois. I mean, his control of the offense, his ability to not only hit shots, but hit shots at key moments, his savvy in key moments. I mean, that three-pointer, he distracted the defender by making it look like he was going to wait for the screen, and he was setting it up the whole time. Even in the TV shot, you can see Brad Underwood turn away. Like, he was even fooled into thinking that Braden Smith was going to wait on that screener. If you're a coach, you're not going to turn away from the critical shot of the game. He turned away thinking Smith was going to wait. He waved, didn't wait, shot the dagger. I mean, his improved play is the reason why Purdue is a different team now than it was a year ago, in my opinion.
Yeah, first off, you just blew my mind. I hadn't realized that it's still on the table that Purdue could win the league by 4 games. It feels like it was like 10 days ago that they were 2 games behind Wisconsin. Yeah. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think Braden Smith is, as I wrote last night, you know, Zach Edey's the reason Purdue's really good. Braden Smith is the reason Purdue's great. I think he's unlocked so much more in this team. And I don't think it's just the basketball part of it. I don't think it's just the, you know, facilitation, just the mastery of the ball screen offense that has really transformed Purdue. The shooting, all of that stuff, the scoring from the point guard position, just the new layers of threat that Purdue presents now. But I think just his confidence and his competitiveness just really, really resonate through this whole team. I think he's one of the real faces of that. I think that's a big part of where this team is so different too. This is the most confident Purdue team I've ever been around. And I don't think it's even close. And I think it comes from the fact that you can always rely on the fact that you have the best player in college basketball on the floor at all times, but you also have, you know, Braden Smith and his personality type in a much more experienced, mature, and empowered role. And I think he's really been put in a position to really, really, you know, change this team for the better, and has done it in every way, shape, and or form.
You're right, too, in mentioning his attitude and demeanor and all of that, because I do think that kind of stuff matters and rubs off on teammates. He carries himself with a great deal of confidence that Purdue's going to find a way, that he's going to find a way. And sometimes Purdue and he won't find a way, but I think there is something to be said for players who do have skill who can carry themselves in that fashion.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think Fletcher Loyer gets enough credit for his quiet confidence. You know,
yeah,
just because he looks like your paper boy doesn't mean he's not like an absolute savage. I mean, he is as competitive and quietly confident a guy as there is on this team. He's a big part of this too. And again, I think you saw that last night too. You had around Zach Edey, who, you know, last year would have gotten the ball every time down the floor in crunch time of that game, as he should. I mean, he's obviously an impossible matchup. He's the best player in the country, but you had 4 guys around him in the final 5 minutes of that game, the final 7 minutes of that game, that all wanted the ball, that all wanted to take that shot. And all of them made those shots. You know, Mason Gillis made 2 huge threes. Fletcher Loyer scored 7 points in a row. Lance Jones made a huge three at the end of what was otherwise a rough shooting night for him. Braden Smith made the shot that iced it. And last year, and it's becoming a tired topic kind of comparing this team to last year's team, because I don't think there's really a whole lot of comparison other than the names and faces in a lot of cases. Wow. The names and faces in a lot of cases. That's pretty good. But no, I think that it's a 180 degree difference between what Purdue was from a confidence perspective and an empowerment perspective versus what it was a year ago. Everybody wants the ball now, as opposed to last year, when, you know, there were clearly moments in key moments last year where guys just didn't want the ball. It was Braden Smith, Fletcher Loyer, Zach Edey, and not much else. Now you've got a bunch of guys who are never going to shy away from any moment.
Yeah, that was the shocking part of the last 10 minutes against Fairleigh Dickinson. I think that just the people shying away from the moment, but that does not appear to be the case, as you point out right now. I guess it's a good thing that Twitter does not make coaching decisions, or either Cam Heidi or Mason Gillis somehow would be starting in place of Fletcher Loyer right now, because Fletch has had a couple of good games, and he just does provide Purdue with so much. I mean, even when he's not scoring, he does provide some spacing. Obviously, it's better when he not only provides the spacing, but also does score as well. But when he's shooting the ball well and when he's creating some angles for himself and getting to the basket, man, it just adds another dynamic to Purdue offensively.
Well, Twitter's not real life, first of all. I cannot underscore that enough. The debates taking place there are taking place on Mars, essentially. But no, Fletcher Loyer, I mean, he's always been there. It's not like it's just he disappeared. He's always been there. Some games are going to be Fletcher Loyer games. Some games he's going to get a lot of shots. Some games he's not going to get a lot of shots. It's the respect he's earned from defenses that they're trying to take him away. And this is an offense where you got a lot of mouths to feed. There are going to be games where it's Zach Edey and Braden Smith in ball screen offense. There's going to be games where Lance Jones is riding a heater. Then there's going to be games where opportunities present themselves for Fletcher Loyer. And, you know, I think he's always been ready for those opportunities. And the last two games weren't so much him bouncing back from a slump as they were just his opportunity coming and him always being ready for it. I mean, he was a huge difference maker against Michigan State, and he obviously – I personally think he won the game last night because that run of seven straight points came right after Marcus Damask scored six in a row. And, you know, Illinois had all that momentum, and it looked like Purdue couldn't stop Marcus Damask. He's a freaking magician. And I just think that 7-0 run from Fletcher Loyer, the last two of which were on a bad foul by Illinois, but still they count. I think that was the difference in the game, among a lot of differences in the game. I think when Braden Smith and Fletcher Loyer made those spot-up threes off the inside-out game from Zach Edey early in the half, I think that completely changed things because you saw Zach Edey from there on out get a lot more one-on-one stuff because Illinois was afraid that they were going to get buried in threes if they kept really, really selling out on Edey. And that was a big shot. Those were big shots those two guys made. And, you know, this is just a really good offensive team. There's no right answer. And, you know, Zach Edey is the most impossible matchup in college basketball, but it's that classic – modern Purdue theme of pick your poison. That is a cliche, but there's no better way to put it because if you sell out on Edey, he's surrounded by these guys who are going to make shots, can make shots, and want to make shots now.
I think Illinois is interesting because the Illini can create some real matchup problems for teams because their bigs can play small and their smalls can play big. Purdue has sort of found a way to neutralize that a little bit, which I think has been interesting, sort of that chess match. And now, you know, Purdue over two games has found ways to sort of negate what is typically an advantage for the Illini.
Yeah, I think that that's a good point. I think that, you know, I think the big thing about last night's game from an offensive perspective, first of all, it's mind-boggling to me that Purdue held Illinois at home to 71 points.
Yeah.
And if you just took away a little bit of the offensive rebounding productivity in the first half, you're talking about holding Illinois into the 60s, which is unbelievable. This is a team that scored 105 on Minnesota not that long ago and had been playing in the 80s and 90s. If ever a game profiled to be 97 and 92 or something like that, this was it.
Right.
Because these were two awesome offenses. And, great job by Purdue there. Obviously, dictating the terms of play to a point where you survived a lot of tough matchups, but you also leveraged your matchup advantages, and you also dictated the game in such a way that Terrence Shannon really didn't do anything. I think he was kind of a non-factor. You never know where his head is, but they didn't really let him get out in the open floor very much. They didn't really let him get heads of steam to the basket. He's obviously way bigger and way stronger than Braden Smith, who was really his primary defender.
Yeah.
I don't know if Terrence Shannon necessarily has the skill set to like post up like Marcus Damask does. But I think last night was, or the last few minutes of the game at least, were a reflection that Zach Edey should be Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. That might sound a little bit outlandish. I don't know if he's going to get it. I don't know if I'm going to be his only vote. I can't even remember if I vote. but I just think he's the most impactful defender in the Big Ten. And that might sound a little bit myopic, but, you know, his presence is what makes Purdue a good enough defensive team. It's a stupid argument to say without him, they wouldn't be very good. Well, of course not. I mean, but I just think his presence at the basket last night was the difference between Purdue getting those late stops, getting Coleman Hawkins stood up around the basket and killing that one possession, them actually getting some stops on Marcus Damask finally when there was – you know, Purdue was kind of helpless against him there for a while. He was making just unbelievable plays. But I think that, you know, Coleman Hawkins didn't really hurt them as much. He had a couple drives to the basket against slower people. It's kind of what he does. But I think by and large, they did a pretty good job defensively once they started knocking on oil off the offensive glass, especially. I think last night was, and I wrote this on our site last night, I try not to just kind of read my stuff into my phone here when we're doing these pods, but I think last night was another reflection that Purdue's got a pretty good young defender coming up in its ranks here in Camden Heidi.
Yeah.
You know, he's been able to guard a lot of positions, guard it well. He did the best job of anyone on Marcus Damask. I just think he's a guy who can guard guards, who can guard forwards, who can guard smaller forwards, who can guard bigger guards. You know, in time, maybe he can guard big guys even, who knows. But, you know, they have asked an awful lot of him off the bench, much the same way they did Ethan Morton as a sophomore. And he had so much value for that really good team Purdue had a couple years ago as a kind of a as-needed multi-positional defender. I think Camden Heidi's, you know, become that player for this team. And kind of the best is yet to come in the future. I think this is, you know, Purdue's next plus perimeter defender.
Yeah. Any concern on your part about, you know, Lance Jones? It seems like these last couple of games, he has tried almost to do too much. Now, I have always said about Lance that I feel like he's a big shot maker. I don't really care about all the volume. He has a tendency to hit big shots at big moments. But particularly against Michigan State, I just felt like maybe there were some plays that he was trying to make that he really didn't need to try to make. And maybe to some extent against Illinois. But is that just the nature of the player a little bit? And do you expect that he'll sort of settle back in a little bit?
Yeah, there's definitely been some underlying volatility there kind of all season. And, you know, even when he was shooting really well, you sort of had to wonder. I don't think I said this because I didn't want to get accused of being negative when you know, everything was rolling for Purdue. But like, I don't know if he's a pure shooter. I think he's a rhythm shooter, and sometimes rhythm's there, sometimes it's not, and your decision making has to align with where your rhythm is, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes the two things have been very different for him. But no, you know, he's kind of one of those players where you sort of live by the sword, die by the sword. And sometimes you got to ride the lightning.
Yeah.
As I always used to say with Jaden Ivey, is their aggressiveness is what makes them good. Their aggressiveness is what unlocks their athleticism and their speed and their just the excitement they play with. But also their aggressiveness can go both ways. And when it's not there, it's not there. I think him making that big three at the end of the Illinois game really absolved him from a couple of moments of over-aggressiveness when Purdue just needed to play solid situational basketball.
Yeah.
And kind of salt the game away there. You know, he attacked the basket a little bit too aggressively when Purdue, you know, could have stood to just get in half-court offense when no one could guard Zach Edey. And obviously, you know, you have Braden Smith as your primary decision maker, plus the clock on your side.
Right. And
I think there were a couple moments there where he maybe got a little carried away, but that's the nature of the player. That's what makes him good. That sort of fearlessness, that sort of aggressiveness is what makes him good. And, you know, you have to live with the good and the bad sometimes. And there's been a lot more good than there's been bad. And that's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
At Purdue Federal Credit Union, it's about a relationship. A relationship that goes where you go, wherever you are in life. A relationship that's committed to free financial wellness resources, lower fees, and innovative digital banking solutions. Because we believe in people helping people. Let's build your financial future together. Purdue Federal Credit Union, your trusted financial partner for life. Federally insured by NCUA.
That'll do it for our podcast for this week. If you like the podcast, be sure to subscribe via your favorite podcast app by searching Gold and Black Radio and leave us a 5-star review. That'll do it for the show. For Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Gold and Black Radio.